Hey, welcome to Noontime. On February 12th, 2 days before Valentine's Day, he went to Jared. Okay, you better go, actually. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening today. And every day you listen, we do appreciate it. We got a show with my good friends over at AACTE, the American Association of Colleges in Teacher Education. We're going to talk about their upcoming conference, which is coming up in Baltimore at the end of February. I will be there. We'll be doing some live shows from there, talking to some professors and deans and whoever else wants to come up to the little room they're going to set up for me with, I hope, a lot of pastries. Okay, we've got Rod Lucero, who's been on many times before. He's a VP over there, and their senior director of meetings, Matt Wales. All right, so it's going to be a good show, which we'll archive at education-talkradio.org. That's our website. Our full schedule for the week is over there. We tweet and we Facebook at EduTalk Radio, so you can friend, follow us, whatever. Okay, over there. And check out the schedule. We got good shows for this week, including one we just did with Martin County, Kentucky. And now we're going to do a second good one to start the week with AACTE. Let me start with Rod. Rod, you there?
Hey, good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm just fine, my friend, Dr. Rod Lucero. How are you today?
You know, it's a Monday in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital, and we are hitting on all cylinders, my friend.
Well, it's good to hear that some parts of it are hitting on all cylinders. I'm glad to hear that, Rod. Thank you. Good news from AACTE, everybody.
Absolutely. You know, we are functioning here in the D.C. area.
there is function in Washington. It's not
there
flatlining.
Is.
We're in okay. All right.
We
Matt,
are living
there?
Proof. I'm here.
Matt, you're going to take us to Baltimore for the conference. That's all there is to it. Welcome today.
Yeah, thanks for letting me join you all. I mean, I know Rod's the veteran here, but thanks for letting the newbie tag along on this one.
The newbie is more than welcome, and you'll have a blast. Believe me, we'll all have a blast listening to you. How long have you been at AACTE? Rod's been there, what, 65 years? How long have you been there?
Oh, well, for me, it's been just a little over 11. It'll be 12 in July.
Wow.
It's been quite the road and quite the trip.
Wow. I'll bet it's good stuff, I got to tell you. And it's going to be – why don't you – I'll start with Matt here, okay? Matt, actually, I rarely ask this question. I always kind of take it for granted. Well, no, I'll ask Rod this. Rod, you're the vice president over there. What – you know, we form an organization like AACTE. It's 70 years now, okay? And congratulations on that. You've been there for 65 of them, as I said. Congratulations,
yep.
You're 130 years old.
Okay. Botox has served me well, Larry.
You look great. I got to tell you, you look great, okay? Right. But an interesting question. OK, we talk about the associations and we take them for granted that they're there. OK, but if you had to put it all together and just kind of sum it up, what's the real purpose of AACTE? And I don't mean that as stupid as it sounds. Yeah, but you know.
No, I think it's a great question. I think, Larry, one of the things that as you know, this in education, it's important for us to work together to create a national narrative. And I think now more than ever, we need to establish a narrative that is put forward by the experts. And those are the people who are trained and able to speak about what the work we do with kids and the work we do in training teachers. Those two processes are part and parcel of each other. But I think that's the importance of an association like ours. It helps us bring together a national narrative to help people network and see each other's work, whether it's work being done in Pocatello, Idaho, Denver, Colorado, or Miami, Florida. I mean, how do we pull together this great work and learn from each other? Without an organization like ours, then those pockets of excellence become silos, and that doesn't serve the American landscape in terms of all of the children in this country. So I think it's really an important piece to pull together those particular pockets of excellence and learn from each other. I think that's really the bottom line.
And the bottom line is, everybody, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And the teacher prep, okay, at every institution is what I mean. The teacher prep is so important to get this together, especially in this day and age. And there, you know, there's all you hear things out there. And a lot of it is true, a lot of it is not true, and there has to be a particular voice to spread the word, okay? And then you have to get them all together, okay? So that they can hear all this, and I know Jerrica, your wonderful director of communications, okay? You know, Jerrica gets the word out with newsletters and all that sort of thing, but you know, an email blast, whatever it might be, but it's important for people to see each other. It's important for people to handshake each other. It's important for people to get together, and that's the purpose of the association and the conference coming up. And Matt, you're in charge of that, right? You're in charge of the conference.
I don't know if you want to say I'm in charge of it. More so, I get to be the guy who helps bring them all together, bring all these great thought processes, all these great leaders, and really give them not just a platform, but a place that really meets the needs of what they're looking for. And I feel that what we have lined up this year in Baltimore is really a great example of providing an environment that's not only going to allow them to engage in some very meaningful and productive discussions, but also allow an environment that will allow for some casual networking and really get a chance to further develop and deepen those relationships that they started at previous annual meetings.
What are they looking for? When you just said that, you put it together to see what they're looking for. And also, if I may, when we say they, describe that audience to people. Who's going to be there? But what are they looking for when they go to a big conference like this?
You know, it's funny that you bring that question up, because that is something this is my 11th annual meeting that I've helped produce for AATTE. And to go back from the first one I did to now, it's funny to see how much they've evolved and how those needs and demands have changed. It's gone from very much of a focus on solely on getting best practices and procedures early on to now they're really looking for those places where they can engage and co-create the work. Our attendees are looking for opportunities to find others who are doing similar work that are engaging in similar practices and develop those relationships to further enhance the field in more positive ways. And I think that's also reflected in the attendees that we see at our annual meeting as well, too. We've really grown to become a very diverse group that comes to AATTE's annual meeting. We actually, 25% represent deans and assistant or associate dean positions. We have 10% of our attendees are from a student population. We have 30% that come from, director or coordinator level. So we've really done a great job over the last 11 years of bringing more people who represent different positions and different areas of expertise from within the field and giving them a platform to really bring people together and develop. So
it's good stuff. And so it's deans. Let's go through this again. Deans, professors, students. Is that it? Students that are in teacher prep. Did I get it right?
I mean, those are just some examples, exactly. I mean, we would be remiss if we didn't mention some of our outstanding partners that are always there representing, the Department of Education here, some of the schools of education across the United States, and then, partners in the field as well, too, that are doing great work outside of just the university or institutional basis.
Like who? You mean the companies out there?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had great partners over the last few years that continue to show up and participate. Several of our major sponsors come back year after year, not only for the fact that they have an opportunity to engage with the people that they need to be in contact with, but we also, as part of an agreed partnership, provide them an opportunity to really put some of their work out there to the field as well, too. So it's a win-win for everybody, I think.
And I only wish, and I will say this to my whole audience and to you guys, and I told this to Rod last time, I only wish that more and more of the companies that provide K-12 products and services, okay, come to the AACTE conference, because we got to make sure that those people in teacher prep, and I've been an advocate of this, understand exactly what the K-12 folks are using. Okay, and the faster you get them involved and the better they understand that, the better it's all be. Matt, I will go after those companies, all those K-12 companies. I'm telling you.
Hey, I agree with you 110%. We've grown that presence a little bit over the last couple of years, and we're going to keep moving forward, and hopefully you'll see even more, not just in 2018 here in Baltimore, but also beyond.
And I would love to see, to be perfectly honest, an actual college course about all the products and services that are out there for people who are in teacher prep, so that people could see exactly what's out there. You know, they have it in the kids remember it from their high school. okay? And, you know, what the teachers use, but they really don't understand everything changes overnight in this business, and things just keep better and better and better. And if start a course at some university and let these future teachers see what they're going to be using, I think it would be great. It's just one other aspect, but I always want these companies involved more and more and more. I think it's important. Okay, I really do. Yeah, good.
And I think, Larry, to your point, you know, I think that's a great way for communities to be involved in the mission of educating our children, right?
Yeah.
That we don't do this as schools or as universities in an isolation or in a vacuum.
Right.
We do it together,
right,
with communities.
Right.
And so it really creates kind of those wraparound services that we talk about in education, but that we're all in this together, and the better – if we are able to really work with our children in the way that we need to, then that's everybody's interest. So I think your point is well
taken. You got that right. And I also, by the way, since I'm on my high horse here, my soapbox, I hope superintendents show up, okay, at AACTE, because they're the ones who hire, okay, the folks that you guys produce, all right? And when they have to, we have to make sure that that's in sync with each other. Okay, so I
absolutely
only hope superintendent Baltimore at the end, at the AACTE.org, and you can check the date. What is the exact date, February 29th or March 1st? What is it, February 28th?
Sure.
What is it?
Sure. We have pre-conference events that are taking place on February 28th, and then our primary days of our annual meeting are March 1st through 3rd.
There you go. I will be there. I will be doing shows. Jerick and I work diligently to set up that little room. Although, Matt, I see you're Senior Director of Meetings and Events and Special Projects.
That is correct. So guess what? I will make sure you have what you need in that room, sir. I promise.
Well, I know electronically and technologically you will, but let us not forget pastries. You are in charge of special projects.
Okay. I feel like I know some people that can make that happen. Not a problem.
It's good stuff. Well, the theme this year, and by the way, it's the 70th. Happy 70th, everybody. Okay. And the theme this year is, if I'm correct, I think it's celebrating teacher prep. Is that correct?
Yeah, the theme is focused around celebrating our professional identity, and it really stems from the last few years of our call for proposals, where we've really tried to define where AACT stands within the profession and really create that sense of bringing people together from different aspects. It speaks to a lot of the different things that we've done outside as an organization. And really, this year is really, for its 70th, we wanted to say, hey, we're going to celebrate our professional identity because we've brought together all these different areas of focus from the last few years, and now we're putting it forward saying this is where we are. And we want to say this is our new platform. We're celebrating us, and we're going to keep pushing this forward with new innovation, new products, new development, and most importantly, new partnerships that will get us to where we need to go.
Cool. And I'll ask both of you, Rod or Matt, either one of you. Are you guys in the same room, right? You can see each other, right?
Yeah, we can, actually.
Yeah, I see there's only one phone line. That's how I was brilliant enough to figure that out. So let me just throw the question out there. Of all the things, okay, and let's just take the last 10 years or so when things are changing so rapidly, what's the thing that you've seen change the most? Or maybe you could say it the more negative way, the thing that causes the most concern, however you want to say that, within teacher prep. And either one of you can answer, Rod or Matt.
Yeah, you know, I will start with the philosophical piece, and I think Matt can probably operationalize that more. You know, one of the things philosophically, I think that we are much more sophisticated in pedagogical practice. And so when you talk about teachers who are actually in classrooms working with special ed students, working with students who may not speak our language, working with high-end students, working with, you know, those B and C students, that's rigorous. That's tough. And so we become much more sophisticated around how we best do that. And so what I've seen is that we're really looking for what others are doing so that we can embrace and improve our own practice. So I've seen that really loud and clear within the context of our annual meetings. I'll tell you, before I came to AACTE, Larry, I didn't miss an AACTE meeting. They were just that important to my practice as a professor. And it was,
where were you, Rod? Rod, where were you?
I was a director and a professor at Colorado State University.
Oh, wow.
Fort Collins.
Good old Fort College, yeah. Well, yep. Cool.
So
they got you in Washington from beautiful Fort Collins. That must be saying.
Yeah, it's been a change.
Yeah, no, but the traffic's worse. I can tell you that much.
Yeah,
okay?
absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I mean, really,
Matt might want to answer that question as well in terms of how we operationalize it.
Yeah, I think Rod hit upon something very important there, which in this idea of evolution, with that also comes an evolution in the way in which we want to hold this meeting. And as we've grown it and changed it, we've wanted to switch it from less of a quote-unquote meeting to an experience. And I think in order for it to be an experience that people engage with and remember and want to return, you really have to listen to where it is that they want to go. And part of that is really changing the structure and the formatting. And I feel one way that we've been really successful with that is to continue to move away from just the standing head, talking lecture sort of approach and moving into more innovative session types and more innovative deliveries. I think a great idea, a great way to summarize that here on our 70th is we completely changed all the session types for our annual meeting. So instead of your traditional lectures or your traditional symposiums, you're going to participate in sessions such as case stories, where people in the field are telling about what they're experiencing and how they're engaging and inviting others to come up with practices for how they might incorporate some of the work that they're using at their institutions or within their programs. We've got programs that are focused on future casting, where we take data that's given and we look at trends that are coming and we apply a problem of practice and say, based upon the trends, what do you think is going to happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and how do you think your program can adapt or adjust to fit with the trends that are emerging? We also have data to action stories where we're looking at data that some of our member institutions have, and they're bringing it to the table to talk about, this is how we got from here to here, this is what our data shows. How does this relate to your program? I think the one thing that all these sessions really get at is we've gotten away from one point of view to utilizing multiple points of view and coming up with everyone leaving a session with outcomes that they can implement right away.
It's good stuff, and they have to implement these things, okay? Because not to be a sourpuss here, some of the cohorts are down in teacher education. They're down. We need teachers, and we need good professors in schools to keep teaching them how to be good teachers and to encourage the profession. And that's what this is all about. Okay. It's incredibly important to understand what's going on in teacher prep, because that will bring us great people. And by the way, guys, I've been thinking about this. We should change. What do you think it is? You're going to love this. Okay. You ready, Rod? You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I think we should change the name of the schools from Colleges of Education. You're going to love this, Rod. To Colleges of Learning Science. Okay? We're always talking about STEM. We're always talking about STEM. Science, first thing. Okay? People forget education is a science. We now know, unlike when I was in school, okay, that was even before man walked upright, okay, we now know how people learn. It's a science. It's not a game. Somebody used
That's
the
right.
phrase last week, it's not an art anymore, it's a science, okay?
Right.
And we know this, okay? And to encourage people to get involved in science, we changed the name from Colleges of Education to Colleges of Learning Science, a Bachelor's in Learning Science. How's that sound, Rod? What do you think?
I like it, Larry. I like where you're going with that. And that's really the whole idea of pedagogy, right? I mean, that is our science. That
is
the science of learning. And you know, the other piece is really looking at what good teachers do to make it look easy, right? Because they are able to weave that science into the art.
Do.
You know, so sometimes I think the populace looks at us and say, teaching is very easy, because we know our good teachers always made it look very easy. So, but we know it's much more complex than that.
Yeah, teaching implies learning. It's all there is to it. And if somebody's not learning, that person's not teaching. We can't take that for granted. Matt, speaking of pulling things together, what's it like to pull a big annual? How many people are you expecting? What's it like to pull a big meeting like this together? You're in charge.
I'd love to tell you that it happens overnight, but that would be a complete lie. what people really don't realize, and we did a blog on this recently, and I've encouraged people to go back onto Ed Prep Matters at some point and read a little bit further into it, but the planning for an annual meeting actually starts as far back as 4 to 5 years before it even begins, when we have to really start doing the research for site selection and finding a city that can play the great host for the experience we want to create and getting those facilities that we need contracted for that. I mean, it starts a ways back, and then 18 months out, we have our meetings and professional development committee in here in-house, and they are working away at not only coming up with ideas and topics, but really crafting the framework for what will be the call for proposals for a conference that's 18 months out still. So it starts a long time. Like, you want to think that it can happen overnight, but in reality, this one's coming up is 5 years of love going into it.
Wow. It's amazing. And what's the thing, Matt, that you have to do that nobody thinks of? Okay, in other words, everybody knows you have to get the site, you have to plan the city, transportation, hotels, a seminar. Well, what's the thing, okay, that you have to do that nobody who's just going there, everybody takes for granted? Can you think of anything?
Oh, absolutely. I think the one thing that would shock most people is while some people think that it's very extemporaneous and that, you know, lots of things happen in a spontaneous fashion, it literally every inch of those 5 days that will be out there is basically written out on a show flow so that I know every little detail from when a company, our production company, is loading in our high-tech AV to when we have Diane Ravitch, who is our closing session speaker, arriving in Baltimore so that we can make sure she gets basically handled from the airport to the venue. So literally everything that happens is in some way, shape, or form scripted out. So we know and expect what's going to happen. We have to stay on top and be prepared for everything.
Oh, I've been to ask you, have you arranged my limo yet from the air? I'm just kidding, guys.
I will
guys.
Answer right
just
on that
kidding.
For you.
Just kidding. I use a special limo. It's called Super Shuttle. Okay, so
that
not to worry
about
it.
That is a great limo service.
It is a great limo service. You know, you brought up something which I should have asked a little earlier. Diane Ravitch, of course, everybody knows who she is. Who are the other speakers?
Perfect. Okay, so Diane Ravitch is handling our closing session. We are excited to be welcoming her back. She was with us 5 years ago, excuse me, 4 years ago in 2014 in Indianapolis. So it's going to be great to get her take on sort of the history and the changes in public education in the last 4 years. We know plenty has happened in that amount of time. Additionally, on the front end, an interesting discussion. We're going to have a great sort of panel with our new CEO, Lynn Gangone, as well as two other individuals, Marquita Grinnell-Shire and Kim Tobey. And it's really a look at how recruiting and practices are being implemented and utilized to get not only recruit teachers, but recruit ones that we're missing, the ones that we need to make sure are in the field, and finding ways to actually retain them in a positive manner as well, too.
You're talking about the K-12, recruiting K-12 teachers or recruiting professors. Which did you mean?
No, recruiting teachers in the K-12 classroom, absolutely.
Okay, great, great. I didn't know what you meant. I thought you might mean
professors. Oh, no, that's
the
okay.
way you said that. Yeah, right. That's really good, and that is key, okay, to get the right people in there. And I always say this. You guys will laugh at this. Okay, whenever a high school has a career fair, they'll have a dentist, they'll have a police officer, a firefighter or whatever. They never have a teacher. Okay, they never have an educator there. Okay, to talk about what's important, the career fair. Okay, to talk about what's important in education. Of course, that's the venue. They're too close to it. We got to get educators at all the career fairs so that we can encourage the kids to become teachers, which is a damn good profession. Okay,
well,
drives me nuts. Yeah.
Larry, I think, you sure hit a point for me there that really resonated, and that is one of the things about our annual meeting is it's an opportunity, and this theme this year really helps us do that, but it really is an opportunity to celebrate our profession, to talk about teaching as not just a paycheck, right? It's not just a job you go to and get a paycheck. This is it's much more of a vocation. It's much more of an opportunity for a rich life in terms of a career. And I think that's one of the things that we undersell about our profession that I think in job fairs and those kinds of things we're trying to recruit young people in, I think it's an opportunity for us to say, hey, how do you want to spend your life? At the end of your days, will it have mattered that you lived? And I think that that's really a lot of what we have to offer in this profession.
Wow. Well said, it's true, and it's a rich life too. I you know, and some kids just you know they fall in love with their teachers, you know, etc., and they decide they want to be a teacher if they're having a great one. But it's a good profession, And I just hope that the education, the educators out there are constantly pushing it. They're always pushing kids to be engineers, which is all good, or doctors or whatever. But we need teachers, too, and they know. And some of these kids are born to it, and others can be trained to it. And it's just really important. Last question, which is the great philosophical question. Who wants it, Rod or Matt?
Throw it out there. We'll probably both go with it.
All right. Fight over. They'll both run out of the room. Okay. You got the conference coming up March 1st. It's in Baltimore. Great city, by the way. Okay. And a lot of fun. And by the way, it's a Southwest hub. Okay. So nobody can complain they can't get there, because Southwest flies from everywhere to Baltimore. Okay. End of discussion. Or it's a huge Southwest hub. All right. So my question is, you've got the convention coming. Okay. When all said and done, okay, how does it impact the future of education? There you go, guys. Fight over it.
That's a good one. And I think what happens is that, going back to something Matt said earlier, is that what we really try to do, what we strive to do, is to give professors, teachers, principals, superintendents some things to think about. So you know, get in your headspace a little bit, but also things that they can operationalize when they go back home. These are things that we can do today to make the world a better place for kids in their classrooms, for our teacher candidates in their classrooms. And so there's a mix of that high-level thinking. There's a mix of the theory. Certainly Dr. Ravitch, as a former professor, will share some of that with us. And so there's some inspiration there, but there's also some operationalized pieces there where we can have professors, deans, all of those folks go back to their worlds and say, you know what, I can do this. And here's a new thing I'm going to try that's going to, we'll see how it works here in my site. So really making that operationalized, I think, is a really important piece.
And you know something, that's a great answer because, you know, like you said, you take the new things and begin to work with them, because that's what's happening all through K-12. It has to happen in higher ed as well, okay, and brought on to that next generation of teachers so that everybody's up to date on the new things. You got to make it operational. I like that answer, because the future of education lies in running a good operation, okay? It's that simple, and making it work. Okay. Matt, Rod, I'll see you guys in, what, 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
You got it. Larry, we are thrilled to have you on site in Baltimore. I know several of the people you've already interviewed are going to just stop by and say hi to you. So
be ready to be
social.
They better. Okay. And you'll know when I pull up, I have a special blue and yellow van. I hide my identity. It says Super Shuttle. Don't even worry about it.
We'll know.
Just know
it's good to know. Larry,
okay.
Thank you
so
much.
Guys. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, I'm taking the Super Shuttle, which is just fine. Okay. Check out the conference. It's really good. It's really worth going to. And if you're anywhere, Baltimore is an easy city to get to from a high population area all over the place. Check this out. This is where education's future lies. Ooh, that's a good line. Rod, steal that. Where education's future lies. The AACTE conference. Okay, the American Association of Colleges and Teacher Education. All right, we'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org. We'll tweet it out at EduTalk Radio, excuse me. Okay. Matt Wales, Rod Lucero, thank you guys. Jerrica, thanks for setting this up for me. Larry Jacobs, Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Can't thank you enough for listening, and have a great day.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.